Well, let me see now. Cherry pies ought to be you.
Autumn skies ought to be you.
I love cherry pie. How about you? We will celebrate our favorite pies this hour in honor of Pie Day. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, March 14th. March 14th is a day when we honor the mathematical number symbolized by the Greek letter pi by eating pies and making them. Pi's first three digits are 3.14, as in March 14th. We will hear from a UW-Madison math professor in our Wisconsin life story at 6:35 this morning on what makes the math pi worth celebrating. And we'll spend the rest of our time talking with our guest about what makes a great pie to eat worth celebrating. And I'll ask you to tell me where to go to get a great slice of pie anywhere in Wisconsin. What kind of pie are you or would you like to eat or make today for Pie Day? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Anna Thomas Bates is a writer and mother based in Albany, Wisconsin. Her columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Fresh section. She also shares recipes and blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. Good morning. Oops, I have to push the right button in order to hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'll hit you with the toughest question right out of the gate. Do you have a favorite pie?
Oh, hands down, cherry pie made with Door County cherries.
You know what? That's exactly my favorite pie, too. It's just so good. What makes it so good?
You know, those tart cherries, the season's so short, we don't get them very often, and they're perfect for a pie filling.
Yeah, and do you make your own cherry pie?
I do.
Well, you see, that's my problem. I'm not a very good pie baker. What's the secret to making the perfect cherry pie?
You know, I think it's not being intimidated and practicing a little bit. You know, people think pie crust is really, really difficult, but it really only takes a few minutes, especially if you have a food processor.
Well, I thought that the crust was really difficult. What's the secret to the perfect crust?
You know, people debate about what fat to use, and really whatever fat you might prefer. If your mother and grandmother made shortening crusts, that's probably what you prefer. And each fat really has its own benefit. A shortening gives you a really light, tender crust that's nice and flaky. I prefer butter because you get a lot of flavor and a lot of richness. And now we're starting to find really good lard more available, and that gives you a really nice crust as well.
What about vodka?
Yes, that's the famous America's Test Kitchen vodka crust. That's actually a great one to start with if you're intimidated. The addition of, the vodka lets you add a little bit more liquid, which is normally would make a tough pie crust, but the vodka evaporates while it bakes, so you can roll it out really easily but still get a tender pie crust. So that's a great recipe to start with.
Yeah, that Bill Martin's, the producer of this hour, gave me that tip a long time ago, and he uses that from America's Test Kitchen, really swears by it. So what about the cherry filling?
You know, basically, as long as you're using good fruit, your filling's going to turn out great. You can use different types of thickeners. Flour is kind of an old-school one that works well, but you can also use tapioca. Quick-cooking tapioca is a modern one that works out really nicely, and that's the one I prefer with most of my fruit pies.
Now, what's going to make your pie, made the way you make it, better than my pie if I buy a pre-made pie crust and a can of cherry filling?
There's just a lot of extra ingredients and stuff that you're getting off the shelf because it's shelf-stable, and a lot of those extra ingredients will just interfere with kind of the pure flavor of a pie.
So you're an advocate of homemade pies as opposed to buying one.
I am. It really just doesn't take as long as people think it does. I can have a pie crust made with a food processor not rolled out, but in the fridge chilling in like 6 or 7 minutes.
So, wow. Well, you're a pro.
Well, rolling out takes a little bit longer, but just whipping it up in the food processor, patting it into a disc, wrapping it up, and sticking it in the fridge doesn't take very long. It chills for about 45 minutes, and then rolling it out is what takes a little bit more practice, and that's where just doing it over and over again is beneficial.
And does your crust stick to your rolling pin?
If you use a little bit of flour and keep moving it as you're rolling it, it shouldn't stick at all.
All right. Do you have to have, is a cherry pie double crusted always?
Yes, a cherry pie is typically a double crust pie.
And that means that you have one at the top and the bottom, yeah. So,
yep.
So have you ever had a really bad pie or made a really bad pie?
I've made some really ugly pies.
Give us an example.
Well, just ugly in that, you know, the fluting, you know, maybe didn't turn out or part of the crust sunk in on the side, but it still tasted really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it can be ugly, but people are still going to be very impressed that you made a homemade pie.
You know, so I'm with you on the cherry pie. That is my favorite pie. But we don't have. Well, I guess we could have the cherries from last season. But let's say you know you're not going to be able to make that pie today. What would you make today for Pie Day?
Today, you know, I would probably go with a lemon meringue. Lemons are available year-round, but in springtime, we're really craving that tart, bright flavor. So I think a lemon meringue pie would be perfect for today.
Oh, that would be. That's my dad's favorite pie. He loved that pie. But that one intimidates me because you need to make a meringue, right?
You do, but you could just skip the meringue and use whipped cream on top as well.
Oh, okay. Well, give us your quick recipe for a lemon meringue pie.
You know, there's so many different ones. I'd probably have to check to pull up a good one, but you're going to find ones that have a nice thick lemon, like a lemon curd filling, and then you could do, there's a simpler meringue that just is sugar and egg whites. You beat it up, you fluff it on the top, and then really it's just the broiling of the meringue, which makes it look so pretty.
Yeah, I remember 7th grade home ec broiling meringue on a baked Alaska, and we did something wrong because the ice cream melted. You're supposed to, I guess you're supposed to cover all that up when
well,
you put
the lemon meringue is easier because it's not going to melt.
Yeah. Well, we are talking about pies. We are celebrating pies on this Pie Day. Any day is a good day for pie, but hey, it's March 14th, and a lot of people celebrate by making pies or eating pies. What pie would you have today for Pie Day? We are talking with our guest about what makes a great pie, a great crust, a delicious filling. We're inviting your tips, your questions, and your recommendations on where you find a good slice of pie in Wisconsin, if you don't make your own. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sometimes I get so hungry, think about pie all day. Just a little whipped cream, honey, I'm on my way.
We are celebrating pies on Pie Day. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you make your own pies? Care to share your secrets? Do you have questions about making the perfect pie? Perhaps our guest can help. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Anna Thomas Bates, a writer and mother based in Albany, Wisconsin. Her columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Fresh section. She also shares recipes and blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. And let's take some calls from some other pie enthusiasts. Wayne in Hayward is with us. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, good morning. I guess my one of my favorite pies is green tomato pie.
Ooh, that's interesting. So tell us how you make that.
You slice up green tomatoes and add lemon and other stuff. I don't make it. My wife makes it. But she makes a perfect pie crust, and she uses bear lard, which is probably pretty common during the frontier days in early 1900s, as the lard to make pies with, but it makes the most wonderful pie crust.
I'm wrapping my mind around that. Did you say bear lard?
Lard.
Say it again.
Bear.
That's what I was clarifying. Anna, have you used bear lard?
I have not. This is fascinating.
Well, I wonder. Do you think it tastes different than regular lard, Wayne?
Yeah, it's a little bit different flavor. It makes a wonderful crust.
All right. Thank you very much for that tip. Well, green tomato pie. Anna, do you know much about that?
I haven't made that either, that whole bear lard crust with a green tomato. I've got a new adventure this summer.
Yeah, it sounds a little more savory than sweet to me.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, depending upon what you added, tomato jam seems to be in fashion. So I guess why not a tomato pie?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. But we you can make savory pies if you want to. And in fact, with St. Patrick's Day coming up, you suggest that we might consider a shepherd's pie.
Yeah, with ground lamb, a shepherd's pie would be delicious. Knowing how to make a pie crust can also get dinner on your table with either a shepherd's pie, or you could use a pie crust to make a quiche as well.
That's true. As for the definition of a pie, it's crust and filling. Is that the definition of a pie?
That's how I define it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Sue in Suamico. Hi, Sue.
Good morning, ladies. Quick question for you, if I could. What I tend to do is buy, fruit that is in season. Go, like you did, get cherries from Door County and apples as well. And I prepare everything as if I was going to make a pie, completely mixing everything. And then I vacuum seal it in amounts to make a single pie at a time so that I have this during the winter to make fresh pies. My question, I guess, is it best to seal my apples by themselves without adding all the other ingredients? And I'll just listen off the air. Thank you, ladies.
Hmm.
You know, apple pie is one of those that seems to freeze really well. I used to, a long time ago, I worked for a nonprofit, and they did that as a fundraiser, and they would freeze entire apple pies. And they always turned out really delicious. So I don't see why not. That seems the easiest thing to do. But if you're nervous and maybe with other fillings that are runnier than an apple pie, like a cherry pie or a blueberry, those I probably would freeze separately.
Wow. And it sounded like that's what she does is that she freezes the ingredients to use in the winter.
It almost sounded like she did the whole pie together.
I see. Okay.
And I think with apples that would work really well because the apples don't get juicy and wet until they start baking.
Mm. Michelle on Twitter says, I bake my pumpkin pie with a graham cracker crust that is a big hit with my friends and family. Well, what do you think of graham cracker crusts?
You know, they're great. They're very easy to make. You basically just, crumble the crackers, a little bit of butter, a little bit of sugar, and you pat it into a crust. And for certain fillings, that cracker crust is really nice.
Yeah, I'm a fan of graham cracker crust, too. How about the pumpkin filling? Do you do that from scratch, or do you use a already prepared can?
You know, I've tried it both ways, and there is not a big difference. So I often do use the canned pumpkin.
Easier. It's easier?
It's much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there was a taste benefit to roasting and puring your own pumpkin, I think I would do it, but I really haven't found that there is.
All right, let's go to Bill in Sun Prairie. Hello, Bill.
Good morning. You know, I got up this morning and I thought, I'm the last person that would ever call into the show, and here I am.
Well, thank you for calling, Bill.
I lack the cooking or baking gene. I have no ability that way, but I'm calling to just let you share a memory I have of my mother. I'm 71 years old, and I can remember as a little boy back in the 40s, my mother cooking like Betty Crocker, and she would lay out this long table of pie crusts and make baked apple pies, and she would cut up the crust into little strips and lay them perpendicular to each other across the top of the pie. And I still remember these things, and she would pinch the edges of the top pie to make like little design around it. And then she would take a knife and poke holes in the top of the pie, I guess to let the steam out or something. But I remember the rolling pin and the flowers, and it's such a great childhood memory. She was the type of woman that if anybody walked in, they had to sit down and eat. You know, she was just like Mother Teresa.
Aww.
And when she died in 2006, they asked me what I wanted from her estate, and I said just one thing, her fry pans, because she had these old cast iron fry pans from 1930 when she was married. And that's the only thing I have from my mother, but all the love she had in the kitchen, it just reminds me of her.
Oh, Bill.
Anyway, that's my little sentimental call.
Thank you so much for sharing that memory. That it's very touching, and I think very I think it's a universal feeling about moms and kitchens and baking and love. There's love that goes into that pie, Anna.
Yeah, that was a beautiful memory.
Yeah. Let's go next to Pam in Oshkosh. Hello, Pam.
Oh, hi. I wanted to say, well, talking about mothers, my mom said that the secret to her pie crust was unbleached flour. And I've since, you know, experimented with whole wheat flour from half the flour up to all of the flour, which makes a very dark crust. But I have to agree. The bleached flour just tastes, it just doesn't taste like anything. And I think that's how you get a really tasty crust. And I also like an olive oil crust, like on veggiecooking.com, because, I mean, my attitude is if you're going to go through the trouble of making something yourself, it might as well be healthier than something you just buy off the shelf in the store.
Interesting. Olive oil instead of the shortening, Pam?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, have you tried that, Anna?
I have. My dad is actually vegan, so I've experimented with an oil crust a little bit so I can make pies for him.
Wonderful. And what about the unbleached versus bleached?
You know, I only use unbleached flour, so I haven't tried it with bleached, but it would make sense because there's just less, you know, less processing and less chemicals. So I would imagine that all-purpose does taste better than bleached, or unbleached tastes better than bleached.
And what about a whole wheat flour?
You know, I've tried that a little bit, too, and it's a little more difficult. The crust turns out a little softer. It's a little trickier to handle. But, you know, I'm sure there's a ratio somewhere you could hit where it would be okay, but it wouldn't be quite the same as all white flour.
Yeah, so what about anybody who, can you make a gluten-free crust?
You know, I imagine you could. There's so many gluten-free mixes these days that it might be possible, but I know a lot of people, when they do go gluten-free, like for pumpkin pie, they actually make it without a crust, so it's not really a pie, but it's still a pumpkin pie-ish type dessert.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of good ideas here. You know, going back to our caller who was talking about his mother, my mother couldn't actually cook a pies very well, but she did make cobblers. I think it's because maybe it was time too that, so she would use like oats or you know, like a crumble kind of a filling or a crust. Is that a pie?
I don't know if I'd call it a pie, but it's delicious, and I make crumbles and crisps all the time, and it definitely is a little bit faster than making a pie.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, she'd make a peach cobbler, and that's, I think it was just putting some sort of I don't know, like a biscuit type thing on top of that.
Yeah, a cobbler would be like some sort of biscuit dough draped on top, and a crumble or a crisp would have the oats and butter and sugar on top. And then some people will use a crisp topping as their top crust. So they'll make a bottom crust, traditionally like a pie crust, put in their fruit filling, and then put a crumble topping on top just for more texture and flavor.
Let's go next to Linda in Lannan. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Yes.
I was listening to the pie crust, and I used to struggle with it. I made a lot of pie crusts in my lifetime, and I found an excellent one in a favorite cookbook. And it's really so easy, and it works every time without breaking apart. I love it, I love it, I love it. And it's just really 2 cups of flour with a teaspoon of salt. And then you take a third of a cup of that mixture and put it in a separate bowl. And then you cut into that mixture 2/3 cups of shortening. And then you take the 1/3 cup that you reserved and put 1/4 cup of water. And then you just mix it all together. It turns out so well. It is so easy to roll. And then that's could be a 1 or 2 crust pie, depending upon how you roll it, how thin you roll it. And then my other suggestion is, now that I'm alone, a pie is too much for me. Even if I have company, sometimes I end up throwing some of it out, which I hate to do. So I make something called a galette. And it's basically a 1 crust, and you roll it out and put it on. I put it on a parchment paper. And then you put the fruit in the middle. And I guess I've only made apple and pear mixture. So I take apple and pears in the mixture and put that in the middle and put salt and cinnamon on there, and then I melt some apricot jam and put it on top of that. And I just take the edges. You lift the parchment paper so that the edges fold in, and you have a, like a circle. And you bake that, and it's so good. It's about 20 minutes, and it's just delicious.
You had me at apples and pears, Linda.
You put apples and pears together. It's fabulous. It's just fabulous.
That does sound fabulous. Anna.
You put it in a pie, too. And then I have one more suggestion. I found that I love canned cherry pie, and I usually make everything from scratch, so it's really unusual that I like that. But it's a little too sweet for me, so I mix it with a cup of rhubarb.
Oh, how about that, Anna?
That's great. And spring is coming, and rhubarb will start growing. So, yeah, harvest what you can and make it with strawberries, and what you can freeze and save, definitely make it with cherries. That sounds good. I've never heard of that combination.
Yeah, and very briefly, because we have news coming up, the galette versus the pie, or because it's smaller? Do you, Anna, know about that?
They can be smaller, but they're just free form. They're a really nice rustic pie. So galettes are a nice option for something a little bit more rustic. And if you're worried about the fluting or the lattice top, a galette just takes that all out of the picture.
All right. We will check news, and then we'll be back talking about pies on this Pie Day. What pie will you have for Pie Day? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Rhubarb pie, let my rain tomorrow, let it get some before I die.
Rhubarb pie. We will ask you to share your favorite pies of spring, and I will ask you to tell me where to go to get a great slice of pie anywhere in Wisconsin coming up in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. People who like math and also enjoy eating pie are celebrating today because it's Pie Day, a holiday commemorating the mathematical constant symbolized by the Greek letter pi. The number's first three digits are 3.14, which is why it's celebrated on March 14th. As you probably learned in school, pi is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. UW-Madison math professor Jordan Ellenberg has these thoughts on what makes pi worth celebrating.
It's one of the most fundamental of all numbers. It pops up in all manner of unexpected places. For instance, if you take two random numbers and ask whether they have no common factor, I don't know if that's something you ever do in your daily life, but suppose that you did, you would find that the chance of that happening is 6 over pi squared. Very strange, right? It has nothing to do with circles, nothing to do with radii. But this number is somehow sort of a controlling constant that governs all kinds of mathematical objects that don't visibly have to do with geometry or anything like that. You know, it's what's called an irrational number. I mean, the very name kind of suggests mystery. Irrational things are those things outside the bounds of reason. I mean, I think the coincidence of those two terms, I think, goes all the way back to the Pythagoreans. They really thought of all numbers as fractions, as ratios of two whole number quantities. When they discovered that there were some numbers that couldn't be expressed this way, they were really upset. We take math pretty seriously now, but the story about the Pythagoreans is that the first guy to discover the existence of an irrational number was thrown into the sea and drowned. They were so angry that their whole system of thought was in danger.
3.14159265358979.
There's no kind of mathematician, no kind of physicist, no kind of engineer who doesn't grapple with pi. Not because they're going to look for it, but because pi comes and finds them.
Pi is 3.14159265358979323846263832795028841971699.
In your ordinary everyday life, I think on some level, like whether you think of it or not, you understand the geometric principle underlying pi, that principle that the ratio between the different parts of a figure doesn't depend on what size the figure is. So when we say all circles are the same shape, really without knowing it, we're asserting the existence of pi. It's also Einstein's birthday, March 14th. I'm not sure if he knew his birthday was Pi Day. That's an interesting question. You may think Okay, circles are interesting because in our world that we live in, you see circles a lot. It's the most fundamental curved object, right? But of course, Einstein's realization was that the space we live in is itself curved. I'm sure he wouldn't have put it this way himself, but he was certainly a figure in emphasizing that pi is not only a feature of things that look round to our eye, it's a feature of the fundamental curved nature of the space in which we live. 1415926. If you really ask yourself, what is pi? Like, let's say you really wanted to get to know it. Like, what is it? No matter how many digits of it you write down, you're never going to really know what it is. So its digits are kind of a red herring. In some sense, the reason we don't know that much about the digits of pi is because, frankly, they're kind of meaningless. They go on forever. There's no end.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org or find us on Facebook. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 19 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, March 14th. What pie do you want to make or eat on this Pi Day? Nothing irrational about our love of pi. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Anna Thomas Bates, a writer, mother, based in Albany, Wisconsin. Her columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Fresh section. She also shares recipes and blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. And Anna, I don't know about you. I love pie more than I love math. What about you?
Yes, I do as well. Although with my oldest son entering kindergarten, I think I need to start brushing up on some of these concepts.
And I promised that we would talk a little bit about spring pies, and we just touched on it at the end of the last half hour, but rhubarb pie. That's got to be one of the earliest fresh pies of the season, huh?
It is. I'm always really thrilled when I start to see my rhubarb come up. And rhubarb can be used on its own, but it's more often combined with strawberries, but those come a little bit later.
Yes. So the combo, it just makes it a little tart and sweet?
Yep.
Yeah. So what's your secret to rhubarb pie?
Oh, I don't know if I have a secret. Just get good rhubarb and you'll be all set. But I also wanted to comment, the last caller we had talking about making the galette, another way to make a smaller pie, I love making these for my kids, we make hand pies. So we roll out the dough, we cut smaller circles, put in a little filling, and then fold it over so you get a small half-circle pie. And those freeze beautifully. You can pick them up, and they're just like little individual pies for people.
That sounds great. That does sound great. Besides the rhubarb pie, and you mentioned earlier a lemon meringue pie, because lemons are pretty much always available, what else would be a tasty spring pie?
You know, with the lack of fruit right now, you know, you'd have to go to more of the cream pies. And, you know, I really love the tart stuff. So a key lime pie would, I think, be another delicious one this time
of
year.
Oh, speaking of which, I love key lime pie, by the way. I fell in love with it when I was in the Florida Keys. Mike in Fitchburg emails, key lime pie makes my knees buckle. I've tried to make it once, as I am not much of a baker. It turned out good, but it was a ton of work. I would be interested to hear your tips to a great key lime pie.
You know, the key lime pie, the one nice thing about it is that it typically uses a cracker crust, so you kind of avoid the whole pie crust issue. And really, if you're squeezing the key limes, that is a ton of work because they're tiny. But there's a lot of recipes that just use regular limes instead of the key limes. And there is a slight difference in taste, but it's not tremendous. And regular limes are still really delicious. But often it's just made with that and some sweetened condensed milk and a few eggs. But I'm imagining he's referring to squeezing the key lime. So I think I'd probably just go with regular limes, and you would reduce your squeezing time down quite a bit.
And then Mike ends his email with, gotta go off to Hubbard Avenue Diner in Middleton for breakfast and pie.
That is a great place for pie in Madison.
Yeah, they're really known for their pies. We'll talk a little bit a little bit later this half hour about some great places to get pies if we're unable to make our own today. Let's go to Gretchen in Loganville now. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi. Well, I called mostly to say that Aunt Ozie's Cafe in Loganville, that's about an hour northwest of Madison, makes fantastic pies, and she sells them by the slice. Or if you pre-order, you can get whole pies. I would recommend going, they're open Wednesday through Sundays, but usually by Sunday, the pies are all gone. So, again, if you want some, call her ahead, and she makes everything from scratch.
So what are you going to have, Gretchen? What's your favorite?
Well, I can't eat her pie because I'm gluten-free, but I do have a gluten-free crust recipe that I use, a couple different ones. I've found that a crumble, like a shortbread-type crust made with a rice flour mix works best, but her cherry pie filling smells fantastic. And I wish I could get the recipe for it, but I can't talk her out of it.
Yeah, got to guard those recipes sometimes. Gretchen, thank you so much. Yeah, we did hear from a listener saying using rice flour for pie crusts will make it gluten-free. Anna?
That sounds, I'll have to try that out. I was researching a few other recipes during the break, and I've seen rice flour, some potato flour, and just some mixes of different non-gluten flours seem to do the trick.
And we will go next to Paul in Elkhorn. Hello, Paul.
Hi. At work today, we're having a Pie Day celebration, and people bring in pies. And we sell the slices for $3 a piece, and all proceeds go to the local charity, Love, Inc. In my car, my wife made her famous turtle pecan cheesecake, and well, technically it's not a pie. It's round, so that's good enough. It's delicious, and it's usually gone when I bring it in by 9 o'clock. So it's a hit. She also makes a really good key lime pie, but not a lot of other people besides me like it because it makes, as the other gentleman said, makes your knees buckle. It's very tart, and it's just, I just love it.
Boy, thanks very much, Paul. So a turtle pecan cheesecake, not technically a pie, Anna, but close enough.
But still delicious.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah, a lot of people on Pie Day will, I know that we at Wisconsin Public Radio often celebrate Pie Day with everybody bringing in their favorite pies, their homemade pies, usually, not all, but many good pie bakers around Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, our news director, Michael Leland, we just heard him on the news, is known in this building for his chocolate Guinness pie. So he puts Guinness beer in his pie. Have you ever tried anything like that?
I've had a chocolate Guinness cake, but I don't know, chocolate Guinness pie sounds pretty delicious.
Yeah, it would be and that I think he does that too because, you know, isn't Guinness Irish? So there you go.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
We are talking about Pie Day. We're celebrating pies, and we're wondering what is your favorite kind of pie? Maybe you have a favorite place in Wisconsin to get a slice of pie. Often during this hour, I ask you to tell me where to go. Well, where should I go for a great slice of pie? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashburn, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapak, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Waupun, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, Fate Matters, Wishwaters, Climate.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy.
Every Friday at this time, we celebrate life in Wisconsin, from recreation to travel to culture to food. And I often ask you to tell me where to go. Today, where should I go? Where would anyone want to go to get a great slice of pie in your community? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest has written quite a bit about homemade pies. She's a real advocate for homemade pies. And she's written about some Wisconsin pie makers in the blog Tall Grass Kitchen and columns that she writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Fresh section. Anna Thomas Bates is a writer and mother based in Albany. And we have some of her pie pieces posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We also put up a piece from Travel Wisconsin about Wisconsin bakeries that make some great pies. So do you have a favorite place to get great pies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we'll continue to take your questions about baking the perfect pie or your tips and your favorite pies overall. Anna, do you have a favorite place to get great pies if you don't make them on your own?
Well, I'm based in Madison, and I have to agree with the earlier caller. Hubbard Avenue Diner has really good pies, and its sister restaurant, Monty's Blue Plate, as well.
Oh, yeah. And so, I don't. Do you think there are places that make decent pies for the most part?
There are the places who take the time to make it from scratch. You know, hands down, they're always going to have good pies. And there's some bigger places that do that. You know, Norske Nook up in the northwest part of Wisconsin is famous for their pies. And I interviewed them for a story, and they have 8 women who come in and will make hundreds of pies each day during the summer. It's unbelievable.
It really is. I've looked at their pie case, and it's you can't make a decision.
Yeah, they said during the summertime they actually have hired 2 staff people, and their only job is to cut up strawberries for their fresh strawberry pie.
Oh, wow. Well, we have many other callers, so let's go to Cody in Durwoods Glen. Hi, Cody.
Good morning.
Morning. Do you have a favorite place to go for pie?
Yes, one of my favorites is the Log Cabin Restaurant in Baraboo, where they make everything from scratch. And what really entices you is when you're standing in line to be seated, the ventilation system comes from their bakery, so you're ready to chow down.
Very good. All right, thanks very much. The Log Cabin in Baraboo. Let's go next to Jennifer in Fitchburg. Hello, Jennifer.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
I guess I'll start with one of my favorite places to get pie. If you need a really good pumpkin pie, I think you should probably go to my mother's dairy farm in Cross Plains, because I would stand on the top of any mountain and claim that my mother/grandmother's pumpkin pie is the best on the planet.
Oh, wow. What do you think makes it the best, Jennifer?
It's the secret ingredient of molasses, so her pumpkin pie is always very dark in color, and so I can tell from seeing anyone's pumpkin pie if it's going to be near that standard or not simply by the color of the filling.
I love that idea. I've never heard of putting molasses. I guess I don't make them very often,
yeah.
But wow.
It's wonderful. It is wonderful. And then my family, I am a high school math teacher by trade, so of course I have the math passion as well as the food passion. So I've spent 12 years getting high school math students all fired up about Pie Day. We've sort of stressed out the local bakery in town. They always want us to call and let them know when Pie Day is being celebrated at the school, because the kids will all buy their pies and bring them to school. And that's been quite a fun way to celebrate food with kids and to, you know, be able to talk a little bit about math too.
Oh, that's great. So how do you use the pie in your instruction?
It depends on the class I'm teaching, and admittedly, on that day, it's usually not as much about the math, because it's just fun. Who doesn't want to eat pie in math class instead of doing math? But,
yeah.
the professor that you had speaking earlier this hour, you know, certainly gave some exciting passions to those of us that are excited about math.
Yeah, and I shouldn't say I'm just more excited about pie than math, but he did make it sound exciting. Jennifer, thank you so much, and have a good day celebrating Pie Day at school. What about that molasses in that pumpkin pie, Anna?
That sounds like a great idea. I think I'm going to have to adopt that one.
Yeah, sounds really good. Robert on Twitter says, Norske Nook's pecan stout pie is a thing of magic. Sounds like it. Pecan and stout. Found at the Northwoods Brew Pub in Eau Claire. Oh, so Norske's supplies a brew pub in Eau Claire, too. So that's very nice. Yeah, the pie that was recommended on the Travel Wisconsin piece from Norske's Nook was a sour cream lingonberry pie. Wow. I don't think I've ever had anything like that.
Sounds delicious.
George in Appleton is with us. Hi, George.
Good morning. I just tuned in. So I don't know if you mentioned Wayne's Restaurant in Oconto, but I believe some of their pies are national award-winning pies. They have wonderful. Every time we go head north, got to stop at Wayne's and buy a pie.
And what kind of pie are you going to buy today if you're there, George?
They have one that's topped with whipped cream. It's got a layer of strawberries, and the base layer is, I believe it's a sour cream combination. Delicious, and the pie crusts are great, too. So, but there's so many good ones there. We've had the apple pies, conventional lemon meringue. They're just great pies.
Thank you so much. Sounds really good. I have not heard of Wayne's. So have you, Anna?
I haven't, but I love the idea of the fruit and the cream pie together. That sounds great.
It does. You know, and now there's another sour cream in the pie. Is that a typical ingredient for pies?
I've definitely seen it with some apple and berry pies. Just adds a little tart to the fruit, sweet fruit.
Yeah. Now, do you have to have ice cream on your apple pie, Anna?
You know, I'm more of a either naked pie or whipped cream than ice cream. But.
Yeah. What about a slice of cheddar?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Chris in Iron River is with us. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. The Gourmet Garage in Bayfield has great fruit pies all made from scratch.
Oh, yeah. They have great fruit up there, too.
Yeah, great fruit. And then I can't think of the name of the restaurant, but on Butternut Lake, just outside of Park Falls, they make banana cream pie. But the first layer is chocolate pudding. Oh, boy.
Sounds good to me. Chocolate pudding in a banana cream pie. You know, I think on your, if I'm not mistaken, you had a coconut pie on the article that we posted on Facebook. A coconut cream pie sounds good, too. Are those hard to make, Anna?
That particular one had a lot going on. There was a special coconut crust, and then it had a coconut cream, and then more coconut on top. But if you don't do it quite that fancy and make a more traditional crust or even a cracker crust, the coconut cream isn't that difficult.
Mm. I think I'm in the mood for that. We have to take. I'm going to take James in Mosinee. Hi, James.
Hello, I'm James, calling from Mosinee.
Yes.
Main Street Cafe in Bloomer, Wisconsin. They have all kinds of pies. And it was always available. They are very good.
What's your favorite one, James?
My favorite one is banana pie and strawberry cheese pie. These two I love very much.
Thank you very much. I have not heard. Well, I guess I, and that's not too far away, Blue Mounts. So,
no, we'll have to try that one out.
And I'm going to get one more in Scott in Green Bay. Hi, Scott.
Hello. I just wanted to say my... I don't often toot my own horn about how good of a husband I am, but my wife was having a food day today and didn't know what to bring in. So being the, you know, how you get ahead in the world is by impressing your bosses by celebrating obscure math-related holidays. And so she brought herself a delicious apple pie in today. So, you know, I can just sense a promotion coming.
Good for her and you, Scott. Thanks very much for sharing that. Boy, we're out of time. What kind of pie will you tackle next, Anna?
You know, hearing about the chocolate pudding banana pie, it sounds good. A little taste of the tropics, and I think my 3-year-old would love it.
I would, too. Thank you so much for being with us. Anna Thomas-Bates writes columns that appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Fresh section. This is the Ideas Network.